I feel very humble being in your presence this morning. I'm deeply grateful for our association with Elder and Sister Bateman and for the wonderful leadership they're providing for this great institution. I'd like to speak a few minutes this morning in reviewing some of the sacred principles that would apply to receiving personal revelations. I will rely very heavily upon the scriptures and the words of the prophets, seers, and revelators. After we experienced our spiritual birth, Heavenly Father counseled, corrected us, and we were instructed, enlightened, and edified in His holy presence. Now that we have experienced our physical birth into mortality, He desires to continue to communicate with us, to give us counsel and direction here in mortality. He does so through prayer and personal revelation. This is one of the greatest gifts and blessings that we have received in mortality. When we speak to Heavenly Father, we do so by means of prayer. When He speaks to us, He does so by means of personal revelation. This two-way divine communication is critically important to our success, to our sense of well-being, to our feelings of security, and to our spiritual salvation. It is imperative that we understand the process of receiving personal revelation. We always pray to the Father in heaven and to Him alone. Our prayers are rendered in the name of the Son, and they're communicated by the power of the Holy Ghost. We do not pray to the Savior or to anyone else. To do so would be disrespect to Heavenly Father and an indication that we do not properly understand the relationship among the members of the Godhead. The Savior and the Holy Ghost have important roles to play in the process of personal revelation. First, the role of the Savior. We pray in the name and by the authority of the Savior. Elder Bruce R. McConkie gave instruction about the role of the Savior in personal revelations when he said, "We pray to the Father, not the Son. But according to the laws of intercession, advocacy, and mediation, our answers come from the Son." It is the Savior who pleads our cause with the Father. It is He who intercedes and is our advocate with the Father. Secondly, the role of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is involved not only in the process of petitioning Heavenly Father through prayer, but also in receiving answers from Him by means of personal revelation. The Holy Ghost will prompt us to pray. Nephi of old counsel, "For if you would hearken unto the Spirit which teaches a man to pray, you would know that you must pray." Heavenly Father knows the things that we stand in need of, even before we ask Him. If we follow the promptings of the Spirit, we will then know what to ask for. The Savior promised, "He that asketh this in the Spirit, asketh according to the will of God." The Holy Ghost not only prompts us to pray, but also to pray for the proper things. The Spirit communicates our prayers to Heavenly Father. Paul taught the Romans this principle when he said, "The Spirit also helpeth, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us, which cannot be uttered." It is by means of the Holy Ghost that personal revelations are received. It is the Spirit that communicates with our spirit in receiving revelation. The Savior promised, "God shall give unto you knowledge by His Holy Spirit." The Holy Ghost will reveal the word of the Lord to us in His will. In answer to our prayers, He will comfort us, enlighten us, inspire us, lead us, and teach us. Receiving personal revelation is not a passive process. As we seek such revelations, we must prepare for these sacred experiences. President Spencer W. Kimball expressed, "God reveals Himself to men who are prepared for such manifestations." The Savior spoke of this principle of preparing to receive personal revelations. He shed light on the things that we must do in order to properly prepare. Quote, "It shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name, and obeyeth my voice, and keepeth my commandments, shall see my face and know that I am." So in order to properly prepare to receive personal revelations, we must first repent, we must be obedient, we must search the Scriptures, think pure thoughts, develop a spirit of reverence. Mormon gave wise counsel to his son Moroni concerning the matter of repentance in preparation for prayer and to receive revelation. He explained the fruits of repentance and receiving revelations. He said, "And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost." The Savior taught the need to repent in order to receive revelation when he gave us this promise. "And if ye are purified and cleansed from all sins, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will in the name of Jesus, and it shall be done." Next, we must remember to be obedient. Obedience is essential in preparing to receive personal revelations. The Savior has given counsel on this principle when he said, "And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated." He also promised, "But unto him that keepeth my commandments, I will give the mysteries of my kingdom." Next, in the proper preparation, we should search the Scriptures. We must make Scripture study a part of our daily schedules. We must not read, but must search them diligently, as did the sons of Mosiah. Nephi gave a marvelous promise to all of those who searched the Scriptures. He said, "Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do, even in the details of our life." There are times when it's needful to fast in order to receive special personal revelation. Alma had a great desire to know the truthness of the doctrines. In order to know with a surety, he prepared himself through much fasting and prayer. He said, "Behold, I say unto you, they are made known unto me by the Holy Spirit of God. Behold, I have fasted and prayed many days, that I might know these things of myself. And now I do know of myself that they are true. For the Lord God hath made them manifest unto me by his Holy Spirit. And this is the spirit of revelation which is in me." The sons of Mosiah prepared themselves by the very same means. It was said that they had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of revelation. As part of our preparation, we must be found thinking pure thoughts. If we are to have the channels of communication open, we must clear our minds of worldly and impure thoughts. We must follow the counsel of the Savior when he said, "Let thy bowels always be full of charity towards all men and to the household of faith, and let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God, and the doctrines of the priesthood shall distill upon thy soul as the dews from heaven." We also need to develop a spirit of reverence as we communicate with Heavenly Father. In order to receive revelations, we must develop this spirit of reverence. Elder Boyd K. Packer counseled, "Inspiration comes more easily in peaceful setting." He added, reverence invites revelation, and irreverence suits the purposes of the adversary by obstructing the delicate channels of revelation in both the mind and the spirit. Irreverence is not only an act of disrespect to deity, but it makes it impossible for the Spirit to teach us the things that we need to know. The Savior said, "And your minds in times past have been darkened because you have treated lightly the things which you have received." He counseled us, "Trifle not with sacred things." The process of receiving revelation is very sacred. It's a divine discussion with deity, and it must be reverenced if it is to work. Now, may we review the principles involving petitioning to Heavenly Father in our prayers. To pray is to have a conversation with deity. This sacred and supernal communication with Heavenly Father is a divine and delicate process. This crucial communication should be conducted with great care and in compliance with sacred counsel. For instance, we have been counseled to pray often. To receive personal revelations requires a constant, concentrated effort in which we continue to petition the Lord about our concerns. We cannot become casual in our communications with the Lord. To do so is to ignore the counsel to trifle not with sacred things. We must follow the counsel to pray unto Him continually by day and give thanks unto His holy name by night. But we must also remember it's not the duration of our prayers, but the depths of our desires that will result in personal revelations. We're also counseled to ponder before we pray. The Savior counseled, "Study it out in your own mind, and then you must ask me if it be right." The prophet Joseph was pondering the meaning of John 5:29 concerning the resurrection. He said, "And while we meditated upon these things, the Lord touched the eyes of our understanding, and they were open." We must ponder before we pray. We must study, meditate, and seek meaning concerning the matters which we seek personal revelations. We're also counseled to ask for the proper and right things. We must be careful that we ask for that which is right. The Savior counseled that we should not ask that which you ought not. And if you ask anything that is not expedient for you, it shall turn into your condemnation. We're also to avoid vain repetitions. The Savior counseled, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Our prayers should not be rote recitations. Prayers should be very personal in nature and not preset presentations. We should express our thoughts and feelings in a heartfelt way. President Harold B. Lee counseled, the most important thing that you can do is to learn to talk to God. Talk to Him as you would talk to your Father, for He is your Father. And He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to cultivate ears to listen when He gives you the impressions of the Spirit to tell you what to do. Close quote. We're also instructed to ask in faith. Prayers of faith are heard and answered. The Savior gave a powerful promise concerning the power of faith in our prayers. He said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you." We must always petition Heavenly Father in a spirit of humility. Our communications with Heavenly Father must be done with great humility. This is the form of reverence and respect for deity. It is submitting our will to His will. The Savior instructed, "Be thou humble, and the Lord thy God shall lead thee by the hand and give thee answers to thy prayers." Speaking to the Lord with great humility is essential if our prayers are to be heard and answered. The Savior has given a warning to all those who forget the importance of the principle of humility. He said, "For although a man may have many revelations and have power to do many mighty works, yea, if he boast in his own strength and sets at naught the counsels of God and follows after the dictates of his own will and carnal desires, he must fall and incur the vengeance of a just God upon him." If we are to receive personal revelations, we must petition the Lord with great sincerity of our soul. If we're not serious about the things we ask of the Lord, He'll not bless us with the answers to our prayers. Mormon cautioned, "And likewise also it is counted evil unto a man, if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such." Enos is a great example of one who prayed with great intensity. He wanted more than anything else to be forgiven of his sins. He described his desire and the level of an intensity of his prayers with these words, "And my soul hungered And I knelt down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. Mormon counseled, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all of the energy of heart." To pray intently with energy of heart involves focusing with faith with the Lord in our conversations with the Lord. It involves closing out the world as if only you and the Lord are present during these divine discussions. And then we're counseled to wait for answers. In a world of instance, we're prone to become impatient. We want instant answers to our prayers. The Lord always answers prayers, but He does it in His own way and in His own time. Perhaps it would be very wise to remember the counsel, "Be still and know that I am God." After we have properly prepared ourselves and petitioned according to the sacred principles that we've been instructed to follow, we need to be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit as the Lord is giving us personal revelations. One of the most critical parts of our communications with Heavenly Father is the ability to recognize the means by which He speaks to us through the promptings of the Spirit. If we are properly prepared, we will become sensitive to these promptings. We may need to understand the nature of these promptings. Revelation is a spiritual in nature rather than physical. We can only understand the things of the Spirit by communications with our spirit. The prophet Joseph Smith explained, "All things whatsoever God in His infinite wisdom has been seen fit to to reveal to us while we're dwelling in mortality are revealed to our spirits precisely as though we had no bodies at all. And those revelations which will save our spirits will save our bodies." We must always remember that we have a capacity to communicate with Heavenly Father. Our spirits carry with them this spiritual capacity to comprehend and to communicate the things of the Spirit. This was given to us with our spiritual birth in premortal life. President Marin G. Romney spoke of this capacity when he said, "I believe that notwithstanding the fact that the spirits of men, as an incident to mortality, are deprived of memory and cast out of the presence of God, there still persists in the spirit of every human soul a residuum from this pre-existent spiritual life, which instinctively responds to the voice of the Spirit until and unless it is inhibited by the free agency of the individual." Close quote. The Spirit is very sensitive and cannot be subjected to constraint, control, or compulsion. It's independent, and it responds only to invitations and not to impositions. Elder Boyd K. Packer explains this principle with these words, "While we may invite this communication, it can never be forced. If we try to force it, we may be deceived." Elder John A. Witzo counseled, "Revelation always comes. It is not imposed upon a person. It must be drawn to us by faith, seeking, and working." The Lord gave great insight into the nature of receiving revelations when He said, "I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little." This pattern for receiving the promptings follows a principle by which the Savior was taught and tutored during the meridian of time. John bore witness that he received not of the fullness at first, but continued from grace to grace until he received a fullness. The prophet Joseph Smith counseled, "It is not wisdom that we should have all knowledge at once presented before us, but that we should have a little at the time." It's a misconception to believe that we should consult the Lord on every matter in life. He expects us to solve a portion of our problems without constantly petitioning Him for potential solutions. It is through this process that we grow and develop and we become more perfect. He's not always concerned about mundane matters unless they are not in keeping with sacred principles. We should daily petition for the companionship of the Holy Ghost. With this presence of the Spirit, we will feel the promptings without petitioning the Lord on every personal matter. Elder Dallin H. Oaks explained this principle when he said, "We're often left to work out our problems without the dictation or specific direction of the Spirit. That's part of the experience we must have in mortality. Fortunately, we're never out of the Savior's sight. And if our judgment leads us to action beyond the limits of that of what is permissible, and if we're listening to the still small voice, the Lord will restrain us by the promptings of His Spirit. We have the initial responsibility to seek solutions for our own problems. This will always involve effort on our part. Elder Bruce R. McConkie expressed it this way, "We are to solve our own problems and then to counsel with the Lord in prayer and receive a spiritual confirmation that our decisions are correct." How does the Lord respond by way of personal revelations? In the economy of heaven, the Lord never uses a floodlight when a flashlight is sufficient. And so it is in receiving personal revelations. Even with revelation that comes to prophets, this principle is true. President Kimball once said, "The great volume of revelation comes to today's prophets in a less spectacular way, that of deep impressions, but without spectacle or glamour or dramatic events accompanying. Expecting the spectacular, one may not be fully alerted to the constant flow of revealed communication." Personal revelation comes in different forms of answers. Elder Richard G. Scott explained these different forms and answers. He said, when he answers yes, it is to give us confidence. When he answers no, it's to prevent error. When he withholds an answer, it is to have us grow through faith in him, obedience to his commandments, and a willingness to act on truth. The Lord gave instructions to Oliver Cowdery concerning the means by which he reveals his will to man by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Yea, behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and shall dwell in your heart. Now behold, this is the Spirit of revelation." Personal revelations are received both in the mind and in the heart. These impressions come to the mind as thoughts and to the heart as feelings. Elder Boyd K. Packer explained, "This guidance comes as thoughts, as feelings, through impressions and promptings. At times, the Spirit will impress both the mind and the heart at the same time. Usually, when your head and your heart are receiving the same impressions, you know that you're receiving a personal revelation. The Savior instructed Hiram Smith, "I will impart unto you my Spirit, which will enlighten your mind and which shall fill your soul with joy." On other occasions, impressions will come only to the mind or to the heart, independent of the other. President Harold B. Lee once counseled, "When your heart begins to tell you things your mind does not know, then you're getting the Spirit of the Lord." There are specific ways in which the mind and the heart are touched as we receive personal revelation. By the means by which the Spirit speaks to both the mind and to the heart is through a still small voice spoken of in the Scriptures. This voice is often recalled the voice of the Spirit. Sometimes that voice is heard, but most often it is felt. It may prompt us with both a thought and a feeling concerning a matter. Elder Boyd K. Packer has described this still small voice with these words, "These delicate, refined spiritual communications are not seen with our eyes nor heard with our ears. And even though it is described as a voice, it's a voice that one feels more than one hears." He continues, "The Scriptures teach us that we may feel the words of spiritual communications more than hear them, and see with spiritual rather than mortal eyes." Elder Packer describes the manner in which the still small voice works in the process of receiving personal revelations. Quote, "The Spirit does not get our attention by shouting or shaking us with a heavy hand. Rather, it whispers. It caresses so gentle that if we're preoccupied, we may not feel it at all. Occasionally, it will press just firmly enough for us to pay heed. But most of the time, we do not heed the gentle feeling. The Spirit will withdraw and wait until we come seeking and listening. Let's review how the promptings come to the man. The Scriptures indicate that manifestations of the Spirit come to the man in a variety of ways. They often come as an enlightenment to the man, as Scriptures seem to illuminate with understanding. They may come in the form of instant recall of things as clear or as a clear audible voice. Sometimes they come by way of counsel from leaders. They may come in dreams, visions, and visitations. First of all, enlightenment of the man. This enlightenment comes as increased enlightened knowledge and understanding. The Savior instructed Joseph Smith. He said, I did enlighten thy mind, and now I tell thee these things, that thou mayest know that thou hast been enlightened by the Spirit of truth. Light leads to understanding. Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon spoke of the vision given to them with these words. By the power of the Spirit, our eyes were opened and our understandings were enlightened so as to see and understand the things of God. And while we meditated upon these things, the Lord touched the eyes of our understanding and they were opened. Prophets, seers, and revelators have described the process of receiving personal revelations through the enlightenment of the man. The prophet Joseph said, when you feel pure intelligence flowing into you, it may give you sudden strokes of ideas, so that by noticing it, you may find it fulfilled the same day or soon. Those things that were presented to your minds by the Spirit of God will come to pass, and thus by learning the Spirit of God and understanding it, you may grow into the principle of revelation until you become perfect in Jesus Christ. This is a very common, Mary G. Romney said, this is a very common means of revelation. It comes to one's mind speaking words and sentences. President Lee said, when there comes to you things that your mind does not know, when you have a sudden thought that comes to your mind, if you will learn to give heed to these things that come from the Lord, you will learn to walk by the Spirit of revelation. A second means the mind may be impacted by the promptings of the Spirit is through the study of the Scriptures. There are times when searching, studying, and pondering the Scriptures, we do receive personal revelations. Joseph Smith had this experience as he pondered James 1 and 5. He said of this pondering, never did any passage of Scripture come into with more power to the heart of man than did at this time to man. It seemed to enter with a great force into every feeling of my heart. In our spiritual search of the Scriptures, certain passages of Scripture may impact us. They may appear almost in illumination as we read them. Answers to our prayers may come as the Lord speaks to us in the Scriptures. Remember, Nephi gave great counsel, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Thirdly, we may be impacted in the mind with instant recall. Personal revelations come in the form of instant recall of things the Spirit has once taught us that may apply to our present situation. The Savior counseled, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. There are occasions, while not common means of communication, it is possible to receive revelations by means of a clear audible voice. Mormon received such a revelation and he described the voice with these words. And it came to pass that they heard this voice and beheld it. It was not a voice of thunder, neither was it a voice of a great tumultuous noise, but behold, it was a still voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. We may receive personal revelations through counsel of our priesthood leaders. The Lord speaks to us through these chosen leaders. The Savior taught this principle when he said, What I, the Lord, have spoken, I have spoken, whether by mine own voice or by the voice of my servants, it is the same. Some may experience dreams or visions. The Lord has given personal revelations in dreams or visions. These are the same means of communications from the Lord. Remember, Lehi explained, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream," or in other words, "I've seen a vision." It is also possible to have visitations. Alma taught the principle that the Lord communicates with man by means of visitations of angels. He said, "And now he imparteth his words by angels unto men, yea, not only men, but women also." Now this is not all. Little children do have words given unto them many times, which confound the wise and the learned. An angel was sent to reprove Laman and Lemuel. It was an angel who showed Nephi a vision. An angel made known to King Benjamin the things he was to speak to the people in his sermon from the tower. Angels also appeared to Alma and Amulek. Now, let's review a moment how the promptings come to the heart. The Spirit reveals His will of the Lord through the feelings of the heart. We must be in tune with the Spirit and in touch with these feelings. Nephi spoke of the need to have a receptive heart in order to receive revelations. When he spoke to Laman and Lemuel, he reminded them that an angel had spoken to them. He said, "He has spoken unto you in a still small voice, but you were past feelings. You could not feel his words." These feelings may be characterized as peaceful, warm, compelling, or darkened in nature. They will always come in response to sincere, heartfelt prayer if we're prepared to receive them. The most frequent confirmation of the Spirit comes to us as peaceful feelings. The Spirit indeed showeth all things and teacheth the peaceful things. Brigham Young quoted the prophet Joseph Smith when he said, "They can tell the Spirit of the Lord from all other spirits. It will whisper peace and joy to their souls." Feelings of peace are promptings and proof that the Spirit is bearing witness to us in response to our petitions to the Lord. He said to the prophet Joseph Smith, "Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter? What greater witness can you have than from God?" Secondly, these feelings may be feelings of great spiritual warmth. The Lord has given us specific instructions. If we get asked if something is right, and it is right, He said He would cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. Mormon described this feeling that came to the Nephites when a small voice spoke to them. He said it did pierce them to the very soul and did cause their hearts to burn. This feeling may come as a compelling feeling, the promptings of the Spirit. A compelling feeling is a pressing feeling. It's characterized by a sense of urgency, a sense of restlessness, a sense of surety. It was this feeling that Nephi experienced when he was commanded to slay Laban. The prophet Joseph Smith described this feeling when he spoke concerning the principle of baptism for the dead. He said, "That subject seemed to occupy my mind and press itself upon my feelings the strongest." And then we are familiar with a great passage of Scripture describing the darkened feeling, the stupor of thought. When we petition the Lord in prayer, there are times in which He answers us with distinct impressions that we have not made the proper proposal to Him. The answer will come not as one of peace, but a feeling of darkness. His counsel that when we ask, "If it be not right, you shall have no such feelings. But if you have a stupor of thought, that should cause you to forget the thing which is wrong." The Lord has given us powerful promises concerning receiving personal revelation. These promises are based upon certain conditions. He said, "If thou shalt ask, thou shalt receive revelation upon revelation, knowledge upon knowledge, that thou mayest knowest the mysteries and peaceful things. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you." It's a tender experience to petition our Heavenly Father in a sincere, heartfelt prayer and know that He will respond with personal revelations. His promises are sure, but we must properly prepare to be receptive to the promptings of the Spirit in receiving these revelations. To this I bear witness, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ, amen.